Christians, it comes seemingly very easy for us to point out the errors and the flaws of society. We look around and we talk about the problems in our culture with abortion and homosexuality and alcohol and drug abuse and Hollywood and, you know, on and on the list goes. We can we're good at that. That's one of our strengths. Someone has said that as Baptists, one of the problems we have is that everybody knows what we're against and nobody knows what we're for. We find that very easy to do. And that's not necessarily wrong. I think that's part of who we are as believers. I think that's part of our right. I think that's part of our responsibility, is to call out sin, to point it out when we see it in our society, in our culture. However, there seems to be not quite the ease with pointing out and noticing the things that, the writer of Scripture says, the sin that so easily beset us. It's easy for me to look over here and see what sins are besetting Tommy and what's holding him back and what he needs to do different, but it's a little bit more difficult sometimes. My vision gets a little cloudy when I begin to look at my own life and say, what's going on with me? What do I need to change? I guess that's just human nature. There's one thing that the Bible talks about that I think we need to deal with this morning, not because of anything I know about. This is more, we were discussing a while ago, the flu vaccine. You don't take the flu shot because you got the flu. You take it hoping you won't get the flu. So this morning, this isn't a shot to fix anything. This is a shot to prevent. God kind of stirred me about this passage. The passage that stays in my mind fairly common, fairly regularly. I don't know why exactly. Maybe I need it. Maybe there's no maybe to it. It sticks in my mind. And simply call it soul poison, because that's what I believe it amounts to. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, the writer there talks about, he says there's a root of bitterness. And that's how he described it. And I think that's a great illustration, a great label for bitterness, because it functions more as a root than it does a blossoming tree. Bitterness tends to be just under the surface, where typically it goes unnoticed, where typically it doesn't get a lot of attention, but it just kind of bubbles and boils in the background. Now, anger on the other hand, it pops out there. You're spot anger. You can see it. You can see some of the other things. But bitterness tends to hover just under the surface. The interesting thing is, if you study Scripture, you'll find out that, believe it or not, it is possible to be angry and to not upset God. The Bible, in fact, says, be angry and sin not. So it is possible to be angry and to sin not. In fact, I believe anger is a very good emotion in many ways. I believe it protects us in many cases. It keeps us from bad situations sometimes. In fact, just in the last few weeks, a study has come out from one major university that said anger, people who express their anger actually tend to live a few years longer than those who keep it bottled up inside. Those who go ahead and express it and deal with it tend to live longer. I think based on that, there's some of you who are going to live to be 180. Anger is one of those things that it is possible to be angry and sin not. And again, I think it's a good emotion, a good reaction that God has given us. Someone breaks into your house at night, you get angry, you get a bat, you get a something, and you protect your wife and children. You're walking through the woods and a bear comes up on you. You don't rationalize with the bear. You get angry and defend. You might just scare him angry, but anger has its place in our world of emotions. On the other hand, when you read the Word of God and you talk about bitterness, you can't find where there's anywhere where bitterness has a place. You can't find anywhere that any passage, even remotely in any shape or form, begins to condemn or accept any size of bitterness. And so this morning I want to look at this passage in in Hebrews and for a moment and talk about this issue of bitterness. And very honestly, one of the things about bitterness that typically, until it has really grown and become really bad, most of the time, the curious thing about bitterness, I think it's really interesting that the author of Hebrews uses this phrase, root of bitterness, because typically, you don't see roots. They're under the ground. You don't see them. And that's true, typically, of bitterness. Most people who are carrying bitterness, they have to carry it a good while, generally, before anybody sees it or knows about it. You can be bitter. You can be bitter towards someone. And many times, I've noticed this, the person you're bitter to, guess what? They don't even know you're bitter. You're walking around carrying this bitterness. Nobody knows you're bitter. They may know something's wrong, but they don't really recognize bitterness. Because one of the curious things about bitterness is something that we generally kind of turn in on ourselves. Brother Mary says bitterness is the one thing in the world that does more damage to the vessel it's held in than to the thing that's poured on. And that's what bitterness does. Bitterness is the kind of thing that when you're walking through the grocery store and you see somebody at one end of the aisle, you turn to go to the other aisle. You go to the milk department, so you don't have to run into that person. Bitterness is the kind of thing that, if you're going along and you're traveling down the road, and you see that person beside the road with a flat tire, you laugh. You rejoice. You think it's fun. You think it's funny when they have bad times. Bitterness is the kind of thing that tomorrow morning you turn on the news, Good Morning America, and your person is standing there holding the publisher's clearinghouse $1 million check, you get mad because they wanted the check. That's kind of the way bitterness shows up. It really just kind of runs underneath the surface. And so the first thing that I want to mention to you here for you to consider is the idea of recognizing bitterness. Now, again, it's very difficult for me or anyone else really to look at your life and say, oh yeah, Archie, you would. I told you I was going to change. I can't do it. You just did. It's very difficult for me to look at Archie and go, I believe Archie's dealing with bitterness. You just typically don't see that. In fact, one of the things I've noticed, I'll be honest with you, all of us, I think, if we were honest, struggle with it. One of the curious things about bitterness that I've noticed is there's three things. How many of you know someone who has been bitter? Okay, how many of you have had someone be bitter at you? Now, the real test. How many of you have been bitter at somebody? Oh, you're honest. Okay, so you didn't have two sermons in one, so bitterness and lying. So we know what bitterness is. We know what it looks like. And so the first thing we've got to do, I think, to deal with it is to be honest enough to say, I'm struggling with this. I'm wrestling with this. That person, and I'm sure you could go somewhere and you could read some psychotherapy book and get a lot better tests. But I will tell you, those are three pretty good tests. If they have good fortune and it upsets you, you're probably bitter at them. If they have bad problems and you laugh, you're probably bitter at them. If you go out of your way to avoid them in the store because you don't want to have to speak to them, you're probably bitter at them. Now, there's probably some, 10-question test. There's probably one of those ink blot tests, what do you see here, that kind of thing, that will figure out. But I'll tell you, you take those 10 questions and you wrestle with those and be honest this morning, is there some bitterness somewhere in you? And here's the word. Bitterness is such a, one of the things I think about as I hear this description of bitterness as a root. One of the things that I've noticed about roots, if you've ever tried to dig up a root, if you've ever tried to get rid of a root, you'll be out there in your yard, maybe you've got one that's kind of poking up out of the ground a little bit, and you're afraid you're going to hit it with the lawnmower. And so you say, I'm going to dig that root up. A week later and 30 feet over, you're still working on that same root. One of the things about about bitterness is it tends to spread out. There's also a medicine or root left over from a tree that is dead and gone. Well, one of the things about bitterness is it doesn't have to be somebody that's offended you today. It doesn't have to be somebody that upset you yesterday. It can actually be someone who is already dead. And you're still carrying bitterness towards that person. In fact, one of the most self-aware people I ever know, I've ever met in my life, spoke here probably 12 or 13 years ago. That was John Savage. I've shared this with you before. He tells two different stories about bitterness in his life that I think are very enlightening about the nature of bitterness. He talks about, and just to really simply make it short, some things that went on in his childhood where he was carrying bitterness toward his parents. And as he dealt with that, as he got grew spiritually and become more aware, he realized that was a problem that was really plaguing his life. And but one was his parents had already passed away. And so he said, the only thing I needed to do was I sat down with a pad and I wrote him a letter. And I told him how I felt, and I told him how I felt they had wronged me. And I wrote everything out in my letter. I apologized. We did everything. He said, when I was done, I tore the letter up. I tore it off the pad. And I went outside, and I set it on fire, and I let it go. He said, no, I was out of line. He said, no, I can deal with it. He said, I had to come to a place where I saw that. And then one of the stories I know I've shared with you before, it's the same fellow who talks about walking into his church in Buffalo one morning. There's a guy out front shoveling snow. And so he didn't really acknowledge him maybe the way that he thought he should. Next thing you know, the man's wife and mother down there at the church fussing at him because he didn't appropriately address the guy shoveling the sidewalk. Years later, they had moved. Now they're in Seattle. He says he happens to catch up with him. So he goes back to his hotel room and realizes he's broke out in hives. And so he said, what in the world is going on? And he comes around, you know what? I'm still mad, bitter at those people who all those years ago accused me of mistreating them, and I haven't dealt with it. And so bitterness is a thing that that is there. You know, when you look at this, the Bible says, look diligently here in Hebrews. Sometimes, we kind of cover up the roots, and we kind of try to deny that they exist. But the reality is, I want to remind you that a moment ago, when I said, have you ever known anyone to be bitter, pretty much every man in the place went up. When I ask you if anybody had ever been bitter at you, pretty much every man in the place went up. And when I ask you, had you ever been bitter at anybody else, pretty much every man in the place went up, somehow than others. Okay? Bitterness is a real thing. We can try to, it's easy again for us as a church, as believers, to point out and say, man, you know what? We need to do something about the jungle drugs and drunks and abortion and homosexuality and all those things as a church we like to point at. But I want to jump ahead of myself just a moment. And I want to tell you, I want you to look down here at the end of this verse and see why this is so important this morning that we wrestle and we struggle and we deal with this issue of bitterness. He says, look diligently, lest anyone the bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So I want to tell you something. Bitterness is typically not something that you can keep for long. You can keep it quiet for long, and many people may not even realize what is wrong with you, but eventually that bitterness will begin to affect you and change you to a point where others see it in your life. We're heading to that point. Well, let's go a little further, and I'm not talking about recognition and looking at my life and being honest and saying, is it there? But here's why. Why do I need to do that? Let's talk about the results of bitterness. He tells us to look diligently, lest it spring up. Have you ever seen that happen before? I had a root maybe and there's no tree to it, but all of a sudden my root, it's like another tree will begin to go out of the root. That's kind of the image he's giving us here. You've got that root of bitterness, other things begin to spring up and begin to develop out of this bitterness that is deep within us. First of all, I want you to know, most importantly this morning, I want you to understand something. Not trying to hurt your feelings. Not trying to, again, I don't have anybody in mind. In a moment, I'm going to tell you that I'm talking to me as much as anybody because we all struggle with it. But here's a reality that you need to hear this morning. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Bitterness will destroy you spiritually. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there, like it or lump it, prove it wrong. You cannot harbor bitterness and do right with God. Plain and simple. You don't like that? They got up with God. It's impossible, my friends, to be right with God and to be bitter with man. You know why? Because bitterness begins to cause us to walk in the flesh. Bitterness, you know, well, we're commanded as believers to do what? We're commanded to walk in the Spirit. Well, let me ask you, we're not to be really theological this morning. Let's just be real simple this morning. You're walking around with the Spirit, and you're going along in life, and you're going about your Christian life, and you're walking along, and you're walking with the Spirit, and all of a sudden, your arch enemy at you. Arch enemy at you. I like that. Arch enemy at you falls down. Do you really think that the Holy Spirit's going to that is hilarious. Yeah. Oh, give me that. Oh, well, that serves him right. Yeah. Do you really think you're going to be riding down the road in your car singing, oh, how I love Jesus, and talking to the Lord, going down the road and see Archie beside the road with a flag tire, and the Holy Spirit serves him right? You think so? Probably not. It just doesn't sound quite like the Holy Spirit I read about. And so, what happens then? Well, when that begins to happen, I'm like, we're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh. And the longer we do that, the more things in our life it begins to affect. And the more things in our life it begins to work on. You take, you're going about your life. Well, let's be practical about this. Let's be, put a modern life spin on it. You got your life. You got your children. They're playing around, in the house. Tommy the walks over and there's knocks of daylights out of June. Yeah, I mean, just cold cops and one. And then comes one of them and jumps in your life and goes, I love you, dude. Poor not going to work, is it? Well, not at all, so he can't tender-hearted. But probably not going to be probably not the best time. Why? Because you just bashed one of my youngins in the head. That's not the kind to come tell me you love me. Well, think about it. You think the God of the universe, our Heavenly Father, you're walking around bitter, laughing when Archie falls, rejoicing when he has problems, mad because you have good things happen to him, and then you go around and say, I love you, Father. Well, no, you don't. You're treating one of my children like that. Let me ask you, somebody bad mouths treats one of your children bad. How well are they going to get along with you? If I walk over here laying in my head with a hand, what do you think of that, Jackie? I ain't going to walk over here and you're too good. I got to find somebody else for that illustration. I bet not get nobody in here with a hand. Well, think about it. It's just common sense. Much of what I'm talking this morning about is just common sense. Well, you cannot be right with God and be bitter towards someone. It will devastate you spiritually. How it devastate you spiritually? Because I just got to be honest, man. I'm not sure anybody cares about that. I'm not sure some care. I'm willing to take that chance. He made me mad. I don't care. Well, let's get a little more realistic about it. Let me tell you something else about bitterness. It's been proven medically that not only will bitterness affect you spiritually, it will destroy you physically. Bitterness will work on you from a physical standpoint. Medical doctor science has proven, pretty much beyond a shadow of a doubt, numerous times, that bitterness held in a person's body will destroy you. Because, common sense tells you, when you bitter towards somebody, it's got a really good chance of running up your blood pressure, doesn't it? Well, if it runs up your blood pressure, what happens? That's going to cause heart problems, kidney problems. It's just common sense of what happens here. There are all kinds of brain problems have been related to it. One leading psychiatrist in the United States has said that he believes that 90% of those that are being held today in insane asylums could be released if they would simply learn how to forgive. That's a staggering number. You say 90% is high. Well, okay, what if it's half wrong? 45% could be released. That's still a pretty big number. Physically destructive. Spiritually destructive. It will destroy you spiritually, physically. It will destroy your emotion, because here's what happens. If you think back some more, I know it's been a long time, but it's just not really applying to you this morning. I know that, but you know, just in case your neighbor needs to hear it, just bear with me, okay? You know, in case somebody needs to hear it on tape or whatever. I know you don't. But remember back when you held your hand up all day and said you'd been bitter. But I know it's been 40, 50 years ago. It hadn't happened lately. You know, I know that. But you know, remember back when it did? Here's what happens if you don't deal with it. It begins to work on you, not just because of bitterness, but you end up, bitterness leads to discouragement. Because here's what happens. You develop this victim's mentality. Let's think about it. Here's what happens. I'm bitter towards Archie. Every time I think about Archie, it just kind of boils up in me a little bit. That's just a joke, by the way. Maybe. Here's what happens. Next thing you know, I see Kathy and May standing up back there somewhere talking. Well, I just told him what he did to me, and he's laughing at me. You know it's true. Don't sit there and think I'm... You know it's true. Next thing you know, I see Tabitha and Ron over there. They done told him too. And I see Joey, and I say, Ron's done one day and told Joey. And then they come out Joey, he turned around and told Billy. Billy told him. Billy didn't have to tell Matt. Matt knows that he didn't even listen. It just spreads. And the next thing you know, I'm not only bitter, I'm discouraged because I think everybody in the world's against me now. Everybody's turning against me. Everybody's talking about you. Say, it's just a little bit of bitterness. It's not a big deal. It may not be a big deal to begin with. It's kind of like, I take over here and I tell Archie, you take this book right here, and I say, stand here and hold this book, just like this. It's not much of a book. I don't know. Pound and a half, maybe 2 pounds. Hold that book. Hold that book, Archie. Hold that book. Stand and hear that book out. How long do you think you can do it? Hold it out this way. You cheating. Hold it out. How long do you think you can do it? Now, stay there. Right there. That 2 pound book will weigh about 20 pounds in what? About 10 minutes? 15 minutes? It'll be up to about 15 pounds? And just a little bit out, you'd be crying. Begging to put that book down. How long? You want to test it? We got our day. See just how long you can do it? That's cruel and unusual punishment. What have you done? He didn't make it 5 minutes. Think about it. Well, it starts out as just a little bit of bitterness. It begins to develop and begins to grow. Some of you say, it's not bad. It's not a big deal. It may not be to begin with, but if you don't deal with it, it becomes bigger and bigger because you begin to grow, and eventually then it turns into discouragement. Not as it destroys you physically and spiritually and emotionally. Let me tell you this, and this is where it gets up in my business, and I get concerned, because bitterness will destroy the church. Hello? Boy, I'm just getting all kinds of winds this morning. I just love that preacher. I told you I didn't have anybody in mind. I'm just talking. Bitterness will divide the church because here's what happens. That same thing, that same path. In my mind, I think we've got a pretty good thing going here. If you want to stop it, here's how you do it. You get bitter. You don't have to quit giving. Just get bitter. That's all you got to do. It'll destroy it. It'll divide it. It'll split it right down the middle because eventually, here's what happens. If I get bitter at Archie, you know what I'm going to want? When I get bitter at Archie, you know what I'm going to want? Somebody else to be bitter at Archie. Somebody to take my side and say, you know what? You're right in being bitter at Archie. And before long, we done got us a whole bunch of people who are bitter at Archie. Well, if we got that many people bitter at Archie, you know what's eventually going to happen? Somebody's going to go tell Archie, they're bitter at you. You know what Archie's going to do? He's going to get some people to be, I'd like to think he was that spiritual, but he's not. He's going to go get some people to be on his side. And before long, he divided up. Bitterness will do that to your family. Bitterness will do that to your church. Bitterness divides. It always divides. You can't control it. And the first thing I hear somebody say is, you don't know what they did to me. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that one, You just don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. You're right, I don't. Let me tell you something. Let me just get really, just brutally real with you this morning. I don't know.
And he don't care.
I don't really don't care. But I don't want to know. Here's what I want you to know. You're not the first person to get your little feelings hurt. You're not the first person to get mad. You know what we need in America today? A really big dose of grow up and get over it. That's what we need. You know, half the time what we carry on is bitterness. Now, I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm just saying that a whole lot of what we need to do is pick up our stuff and move on. Act like grown-ups. It'll divide the church. It'll destroy your relationships. Let me tell you something curious about bitterness. That when you think about this, a lot of you raising your hand and say you've dealt with it, and so you know this is true about bitterness. It's really curious. If you don't have to be bitter towards your spouse for bitterness to ruin your marriage. It's really weird how bitterness works. You don't have to be bitter towards your boss for bitterness to ruin your workplace. You can be, as a matter of fact, I would say most of the time, that's the way it works. You begin to harbor bitterness. You begin to dwell on bitterness. It begins to gets a root into your life. And you're bitter. I'm bitter at you. I come to church and I got to put up with Archie and I got to listen to Archie. I got to be around Archie. And so when I go home, rather than, listen, folks, we know we do it. Don't sit there and look at me like you're deer in a headlight. Look, you know this is how we work. I'm bitter at Archie. I don't say anything to Archie. I go home and I take it out on Rhonda. Don't you be mad at me. You know we do that. It's the way we work. We take out our bitterness on other people. Now, again, think about it. The people, the person we're bitter at, what do we do? We see them coming, we go over there, so we don't have to talk to them. Bitterness destroys your own relationships. And the bad thing is, while all that's going on, the person you're bitter at doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have the foggiest idea. You have become mean and nasty. You're mean and nasty to everybody around you except the person you're bitter at. Think about it. Dealing with a person with the mightiest, the person with the most, they say, well, let's see him this time. How are you doing? Think about it. Isn't that the way you work? You're acting like I'm speaking Spanish or something here. It's the truth, you know it. Bitterness affects our own relationships. Be sure of this. Bitterness towards anybody, living or dead, will affect everyone around you eventually. Count on it if you have it long enough. Bitterness, finally, will deprive you of the blessing of God. Let's get real serious here. Bitterness will deprive you of the blessing of God. Let me ask you a question. We go back to that idea right there. We're talking about you walking along with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. If you're walking around and I'm walking around and I'm bitter towards Archie, I'm carrying a grudge towards Archie and I won't let it go, I won't forget, do you really think God's going to bless me with everything that He wants to? That's just common sense, isn't it? You wouldn't do it. If you were sitting there and one of your kids smacked the other one in the back of the head, you would say, oh, that was nice, here's a 20. You wouldn't do that. I'm not saying you'd kick them out of the house. I'm not saying God would, throw you off the earth and send you out into outer space or something. But I'm telling you this, if you're carrying bitterness, you're not enjoying all the blessings of God who has intended for you. I don't know what they are. I don't know what all He's got mapped up for you. I know this. Malachi says that He's got them so big that he'll pour out the blessings of heaven that we won't even be able to hold them all. And the reason you're not walking and enjoying and living in the blessings of God is you don't have nowhere to put those blessings. Your heart's too full of bitterness to deal with the blessings. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe your bucket's already full. You don't have anywhere to put them. So what do you do with it? What do you do with bitterness? Unfortunately, I'm not AA. I don't have a 12-step plan. I really don't. I have a brutal, painful, harsh answer for what to do with bitterness. Some people would tell you, just keep it in. Just keep it in. Just don't tell anybody, just keep it in. I think we all are smart enough to spend the money that won't work, you just make yourself sick. Others say, get it out. Don't do it. Then you make everybody else sick. So what do you do with it? If you can't keep it in, you can't let it out, what do you do with it? You dig it up. Wallace, where you at? Wallace always got a big garden out there. Wallace, you got a big root in the middle of your garden. What do you do with it? You dig it up, get rid of it, don't you? You dig it up. I remember years ago, right after I came here, Warner Hartzell had a tree out here right in the corner of his front yard and cut the tree down, but he didn't have the stump dug up. And every evening after supper, I'd go up there, me and him would take axes, picks, forks, spoons, you name it, saws, hammers, you name it, whatever we could grind up. And we learned to sit up there and dig that stump out of the ground. Roots now. If you go there today, you can't find where that stump used to be. Because we dug it up piece by piece, bit by bit. But it had to come out. That stump had to come out. I'll tell you something with bitterness. It's painful. It's harsh. It's not simple. You just got to dig it up. I've told y'all bits and pieces this before. It's not the proudest story of my life. Probably the worst. Matter of fact, honestly, that's the only real case of bitterness that I. Because typically, I just be honest with those of you who know me. I generally don't get bitter. I get mad and I get even. And that's another sermon for another day. But the worst case of bitterness that I ever dealt with, I dealt with probably at least a year, at least. And I don't need to go into all the details. Suffice it to say, and I know this word's not popular in culture, but it was stupid. That's just the only word I know for it. It was just stupid. And the bad thing is, honestly, to this day, probably 15 years later, the person who I was so upset with still does not know that I was upset with them. Not a clue. No idea. But I know of it. They've never mentioned it, and I haven't. But I carried this, and there were certain things and sights that would trigger it. And every time I would see that person or see certain things or hear certain things, it was like somebody had lit the torch under the pot. Yes, and I said, I'm like, really? But hey, I'm mean. Yeah, I learned it from y'all. But it was just kept on and on. I don't know if it got any worse, but it sure didn't get any better. And it just kept brewing and brewing and brewing. And I don't say this given myself credit. I'm going to tell you, God just finally, one day, just punched me right in the throat. I woke up one morning and literally in my mind said, this is stupid. This is stupid. I'm not accomplishing anything. This is nothing. Move on. Grow up. Get over it. Let it go. And be done with it. And I'm honest to tell you that as I sit there and I thought that through and I said, okay, Lord, let's do that. And I'm not, because listen, I held on to it tight for a year. I'm not telling you anything that I did special that morning at all. I'm just telling you finally God got through my hard head and said, you're being just out and out silly. And that's just the craziest thing. You're upset with somebody who don't even know you're upset. And if things would have turned out different, you wouldn't have liked that either. Well, that was what was bad. The thing I was upset, about that it would have worked out differently the way I want. I wouldn't like that either. In hindsight, matter of fact, it would have been worse than, you know, it would have been terrible. Let's just be honest with you. As I look back at it now, you know, I look back and realize if I'd have gotten my way, if God said, "All right, you pouting brat, here," I'd have been miserable. You know, honest, it would have been terrible. Terrible, as Charles Barkley said, terrible. You know, and God just finally said, "Listen, get over it. I'll tell you this morning, I really don't in Scripture see anywhere where I can tell you, here's what you need to do about bitterness. The first thing you need to do is read Psalm 37. And then after that, you need to light a candle. And after that, you need to pray for an hour. And after that, you need to throw salt over your right shoulder." I just don't see a series of steps. You know, I like steps. I do. I like to preach sermons. Just got, I don't have one this morning. I can tell you one thing. Let it go. Take that root and dig it up. Throw it down and move on. Let it go. Let me ask you to bow your heads as our musicians come this morning. I'm not trying to ask you to be judgmental this morning, but I'm going to ask you first of all, if you know the situation in your family, in your workplace, someone who's struggling and wrestling and battling with bitterness, and they don't even realize it, they don't see it, but it's affecting their home, it's affecting their family, it's affecting their church, that you come this morning to me and say, "Lord, let me be an instrument. Let me be use me in some way to help them to see. God, open their eyes. Let them dig up this root of bitterness and be done with it." Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "You know what, I know somebody's bitter at me." Right or wrong? Maybe you're guilty, maybe you're not. But you say, you need to come this morning to me and say, "Lord, I want to be the Christian in this outfit. God, help me to know what to do to go to that person to make it right. Go to that person and get this root dug up," because maybe both of you profess as Christians and you're damaging a lot of believers around you. Maybe it's somebody in your family. You need to go and deal with that root. Get rid of it. It's not doing any good. Maybe you'd be real honest this morning and you put it right out here in the open and say, "You know what? I've been carrying bitterness. It goes back to my childhood. The person I'm still bitter at is dead. The person I'm bitter at is not even in my life anymore. I don't even know where they are. It was a school teacher in the first grade, and I haven't seen him since 1958. Whatever." That just illustrates how silly it is to carry this root around and to still be wrestling and dealing with this bitterness. You'd come this morning and say, "Lord, help me. Help me dig up this root. Help me get this bitterness out of my life." Some of you this morning are so bitter. You struggled so long with problems and people, and maybe you're bitter at the church. Maybe you're bitter at God. And because of that, you've never accepted Him as your Savior. I want you to know something this morning. God loves you. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to forgive you. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can know Him, how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, let's be real honest with each other. Let's be real honest with God. There may be somebody sitting here in this congregation. You need to get up and you need to go to them and say, I want to deal with this before it becomes bitterness. I want to straighten this out now. Your bitterness will grow into a mighty tree that will destroy your life. As we stand together. Lord, help me to deal with it. Help me to help someone. Thank you. nobody's hurt you. Nobody's denying that. Nobody's saying the pain isn't real. Nobody's saying that you're wrong. They hurt you and they did it on purpose. They knew what they were doing. They chose to do it. But you're not getting anywhere throwing the bitterness. It's a root that will grow to destroy many. Maybe there's bitterness in your family. You're not even part of it. So you want to come and pray that you might be part of the solution. All these are praying, others need to come. Dig up the root. Church doors open, God's brought you here, whatever God's leading you to do. Appreciate your attention. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Tabitha gave me this invitation, but it's made like a diaper sealed up, and I ain't smart enough to open it. I don't do diapers. You're a good man. I can't bitter at you no more.
No way. Look at that. You got some right.